One man's trash is another man's evidence. This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
I don't think anybody saw this coming. Again, delayed. And I'm going to guess this makes sense because there's a massive fire in the area. Lyle and Eric Menendez, convicted of the brutal 1989 slaying of their parents. Well, the hearing that was supposed to take place, which could lead to their freedom, has been delayed because of the Los Angeles fires. Another postponement. Remember back we were saying like, oh, it'll probably be before Thanksgiving they'll be up. Then before Christmas. Nope. Is it the fires or is someone putting this off? I don't know. It's a reminder of the chaos engulfing not only the sun-drenched hills of Southern California, but also the halls of justice where the fate of these two infamous brothers hangs precariously in the balance. You got a new Los Angeles County District Attorney in Nathan Hutchman, a man who rode into office on a tidal wave of law and order rhetoric. So may not be the person who's going to be quick and fast to say, hey, let's release the brothers. Wants to take a closer look at it. The postponement was announced on Friday. What would that Friday have been? That would have been the 17th of January. It's a delay that now allows Hutchman, the new sheriff in town, more time to grapple with the case. Yeah, I mean, unless he's busy with fires, which may be the case too. I'm not in there. I don't know what the hell's going on, other than it looks insanely chaotic. And I hope to God things get better for all the folks out there. But the hearing now has been pushed to March 20th. This, again, more time. More time between Gascon, the former DA, saying, hey, yeah, I recommend that these two be set free, and the new one in town, Nathan Hutchman, who may, we'll have to see. He's playing his cards close to his chest, so he's refusing to tip his hand until he's had a chance to pore over every detail, as what he's basically said in interviews. And as if the legal drama weren't enough, the city of Los Angeles continues to burn. Yeah. Devastation everywhere. I can't imagine how many systems are now going to be basically broken for a while just because somebody somewhere in each system or multiple people in each system, insert whatever type of business you want to hear or government entity or whatnot, you got people who are dealing back at home with things that they need to deal with because of the level of tragedy. So I would not be remotely surprised if anything in California the rest of this year sees significant delays, especially when we're talking about crime and trials and things of that nature. Hutchman came in on campaign pledges. He promised to dismantle what he called pro-criminal extreme policies. He's a prosecutor who believes sentences as a deterrent, and he's made it crystal clear that he intends to enforce the law with an iron fist. Now, if you don't know much about the Menendez brothers, let's rewind back for a moment. So it's not just some run-of-the-mill characters here that did something horrible and now they want to be free. There's a big story to it, and we have covered it many times, but if you're just now learning about it, here you go. Go back to 1989, a time when big hair and shoulder pads were kind of the rage. They were the rage. They were huge. Remember like being like, what are these things that are in the laundry room all the time? Oh, those are shoulder pads. That's when Lyle, who was 21 at the time, and Eric was 18, allegedly stormed into their parents' Beverly Hills mansion and then unleashed a hail of gunfire, brutally ending the lives of Jose and Kitty Menendez. The images of the crime scene seared into the collective memory of pretty much everybody. Unimaginable carnage. And if you saw that movie, I know the brothers aren't super happy with it at all, but the shooting scene, the crime scene, pretty accurate to what happened. I think the other stuff, there's a lot of artistic liberties in it. To understand the complexities of the case, though, it wasn't just Lyle and Eric bought guns and decided to shoot mom and dad. No. People usually have a reason for what they do, right or wrong. And I'm never going to say, hey, because of what they did to you, it was a great idea to go and shoot your parents. No, because you ended up losing half of your own life behind bars. That didn't work out well for you. Maybe you'll get some freedom now, I think is right, after you understand the trauma that these two claim that they went through at the hands of their father, and with their mom just standing by, letting it happen. It makes you understand them a little bit more, especially if you have been a victim of abuse or know someone who has. Jose Menendez, dad. He was a big record exec. Menudo, the band. This is the one where Menudo members, or one specifically, has come forward and said, hey, Jose Menendez violated me. And I believe he probably violated his kids too. At the time, he was a super entertainment executive, head of RCA, which at the time was a pretty big record company. It's not just, you know, RCA. Okay. That's the TV that I see at the antique stores now. I know there's current RCA, but yeah, it's not what it was. RCA was like LG today. It was big. Monstrous tyrant, sexual predator who allegedly subjected his sons to years of unspeakable abuse. These are the allegations from the sons. Talking about allegations of forced sexual acts, psychological torment. Basically, your whole childhood being stolen from you and replaced with a nightmare. Eric, the younger brother, was portrayed as particularly vulnerable, alleging bearing the brunt of his father's depravity. The defense argued that the brothers lived in constant state of terror, trapped in a cycle of abuse that they believed would never end. They claim that the fear was so profound, so deeply ingrained, that they truly believed their parents were going to kill them. It wasn't just a fleeting thought. It was, according to their lawyers, a deeply held conviction forged in the crucible of years of trauma. As you think about it, here's the options. You're the narcissistic monster, if it's true, Jose Menendez, and you have all this power, all this money, and you have your two kids who are spoiled as shit. They were. I mean, they went through hell with this family, but they also had everything they wanted to. And the two can coexist. You can be spoiled as shit, rotten human beings, but you can also have extreme sexual trauma bore down on you, which will also fuck you up to the point of thinking, either we talk about this, or if we do talk about this, or we even think about talking about this, he will kill us. And he probably had the power to do that. Not like just, hey, Jose is going to get a gun and shoot the kids in the backyard. No, I think he could make it look pretty accidental. So you're faced with that possibility. Or you take them out yourself. Or you just silently stop having a relationship with them and try to get away and start your own life. You are adults. Maybe not mentally, but they were adults. They didn't choose the road of not killing people and just trying to live a life and heal on their own. They chose the let's kill them and hopefully we get away with it route, which didn't work. It didn't work out very well. And if you're growing up in that house where every shadow held a threat, where every closed door concealed potential horror, the defense argued that this was the reality for Lyle and Eric, a reality so twisted, so removed from the idyllic facade of their Beverly Hills life that everybody was looking in at from the outside, it drove them to commit the act of unimaginable violence. The abuse allegations weren't just a legal strategy, they argued. They were the core of the case. The key to understanding why two young men from a privileged background would commit such a horrific act. The brothers are portrayed as victims of their parents, pushed to their breaking point. The prosecution, of course, saw things a little bit differently. They dismissed the abuse claims as a fabrication, a desperate attempt by the defense to manipulate a jury. They pointed to the brothers' lavish spending sprees after the murders, the expensive cars, the luxury watches, the high-flying lifestyle, the women in the caviar because they're pimping all over the world, as evidenced by the true motive, greed. That's what they're saying it was. It was all greed. Thing is, I think they can coexist, like I said. They argue that Lyle and Eric were cold-blooded killers motivated by not fear, but by this desire to inherit their parents' multi-million dollar estate. Well, if you've been raped and molested by your dad for most of your upbringing, him being dead and you getting a lot of money, I don't know that a whole lot of us are really going to say that that's a bad thing. Obviously, you shouldn't have murdered him. Just him dying of, choking on a chicken nugget somewhere would have been a better option. But that's not how it played out. That first trial, as we know, ended in a deadlock. Two separate jurors and two separate juries, one for each brother, couldn't reach a verdict. The nation was divided at the time. Was it a case of self-defense, a tragic consequence of years of abuse? The nation as a whole doesn't typically look very favorably on anybody who has any wealth that gets caught doing something bad or accused of doing something bad. They look at it very, very cold shoulder-ish and, well, you had that coming out of jealousy. Or was it a cold, calculated murder driven by greed here? The debate raged on, fueling countless news stories and water cooler conversations. You know, this is before TikTok, internet, anything. This was, everybody was talking about this. Then in 1996, a second trial. This is where things got really interesting and really disturbing. The judge, in a decision that remains controversial to this day, ruled that much of the evidence pertaining to the alleged abuse would be inadmissible. So the defense's hands were pretty much tied, effectively barred from presenting the full picture of the brothers' alleged trauma. Pretty much the case. And preventing them from painting a portrait of Jose Menendez as a monster hiding in plain sight. Now just think about the implications of that one for a second. The jury was essentially asked to judge the brothers' actions without being given context. Without being allowed to hear the details of the alleged abuse that the defense claimed was a driving force behind the killings. It's like cause and effect, but we're not going to tell you about cause, just the effect. And anything can look pretty horrible if you just see the effects, especially if it's something violent or bad. But because we got to that effect doesn't always necessarily mean that it's just out of nowhere and there wasn't anything that brought someone to that point. And it's like watching a movie without seeing the crucial scenes. You might kind of get the plot, but you're kind of missing the nuances, the motivations, the heart of the story. Without the ability to fully present the abuse allegations, the prosecution's narrative of greed and cold-blooded murder gained traction. Of course it would. If that's all you knew, that's all you knew. Looks horrible. The brothers were convicted and sentenced to life without parole, sent away, seemingly forever. The cries of the tortured past silenced basically by the judge. Question lingered, though. What if the abuse allegations were true? What if Lyle and Eric really were victims of a horrific years-long ordeal or longer? Could the trauma they allegedly endured have warped their minds, distorted their perceptions of reality, and ultimately led them to commit an act that they might otherwise never have contemplated? The human mind, especially a young developing mind, is incredibly susceptible to trauma. Years of abuse, particularly sexual abuse, can leave deep, often invisible scars. It can alter a person's sense of self, their ability to trust, their perception of the world around them. It can create a sense of constant fear, a feeling of being trapped with no escape. So if we accept for a moment that the abuse allegations were true, I'm not saying you have to, just follow me here. then we have to consider the possibility that Lyle and Eric's actions, however horrific, were the product of a profoundly damaged psyche. We have to consider that they may have been acting out of desperate, albeit misguided, attempts to protect themselves from a perceived threat. A threat that had been ingrained in them through years of alleged torment. Fast forward today, here we are with these wildfires raging, the new DA in town, and the Menendez brothers' fate once again hanging in the balance. Hotchman, who had previously stated he would publicly announce on January 30th whether his office would support the resentencing effort, is now pushing it back to the March 20th deadline now. He's got a city to protect from flames and criminals, and he's got a decision to make that could reignite one of the most controversial legal battles in American history. What will Hotchman ultimately decide? Will he follow in Gascon's footsteps and offer the Menendez brothers a glimmer of hope, or is he going to slam the door shut, keeping them locked away forever, at least until anybody else speaks up? And will the truth about what really happened behind those mansion doors ever truly be known, or will it remain forever shrouded in a haze of speculation and unanswered questions? I'm going to have to guess there's more people out there who were abused by Jose Menendez that have not spoken out yet. And how do you litigate something like this, where you have extreme abuse as a mitigating factor in the face of a brutal crime? Neither make a right. Is there ever truly justice in a case like this? Or is it something that we'll just continue to argue about based on our understanding of the impact that abuse has on a human being, especially a child?
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in, and then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today, Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts, subscribe, and savor every twisted detail without interruption.